Good morning. I'm just trying to remember to hit record.
For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned.
That will make a little more sense here in just a few more minutes. Suzanne, we're going to try this again. There we go. Talking the talk and walking the walk. Lisa and I, Braden, for those of y'all that don't know, our son Braden is in the band at BHP. They had a competition at Bowling Springs High School last week. We went up and they did really well, placed second in their group, sixth overall. We went to grab some supper and we found the Capris up there. I don't know if y'all ever remember those. They had used to have one in Anderson and Greenwood, and we get in there, it's crowded, and we're sitting right behind these two older couples, really nicely dressed, and they had a really good hobby. They were steadily just demolishing this young waitress who was taking care of both of us. This little girl was running herself to death. And literally some of the complaints coming out of their mouths were, this pepperoni on my salad should be in a different position. My cheese is not shredded enough. And now there's a couple of things that irritate me. Well, there's many things that irritate me, as my wife will probably tell you. One of the things is, when somebody is busy, and you know they're busy, if it's not a legitimate complaint, just leave it alone. But it is, but they were really good at what they did. This poor girl, I felt so bad for them. I really wanted to just slice that pepperoni up myself and say, here you go. And by halfway through it, because she was waiting on us like she was waiting on them. Then we're sitting there, Lisa and I are just shooting each other's looks and rolling our eyes up and thinking, oh, I'm so glad I'm now waiting on these people. Then they break the silence. They stop everything, their volume goes up, and they come across with the biggest prayer you've ever seen. They wanted to make sure half that restaurant heard it. Oh, Lord, just be with us. Lord, just please. And it was about a two-minute blessing. And then they went right back to what they were doing. The bread wasn't sliced good enough. The butter wasn't good enough. There was something wrong with the menu. They charged, I forgot what it was, for an extra side of marinara sauce with a to-go box. My eyes were twitching by the end of it. Because how many of us have been in positions where we've been at service jobs? I have. My first job was bagging groceries, Piggly Wiggly, and Where's Holes. I mean, a lot of us, that's where Bill and I first met each other. And we were, and anyway, it was so funny because I had been praying that day, Lord, give me a sermon. Tell me what you want me to tell your people. And these guys started firing up. And if I'd had a paper napkin, I would have started writing it down. Because they gave me some really, really good lessons. After they left, we spoke with the young lady. She had slowed down a little bit. 19 years old, very polite. Turned out was a nursing student, which made me really get a little more aggravated at these people. Because Lisa and I, we're both nurses, so it struck a little closer to home. She had a forgiving spirit, though. Very forgiving spirit. And you could tell she had been raised up in a Christian home. And she just let it roll right off of her. But I started thinking about it after on her way home, though. What if that wasn't the case? What if this was a woman that was on the fence about her faith? What kind of impression did that couple make on her? What kind of impression did that big old blessing, and then they're going back and they're trimming her family tree? What kind of impression did they make on her? What kind of how often is this happening every day? We're in a changing landscape in this country. Got another story that's not up on here. But it was an article, and it was from a lady that worked in, another lady worked in a restaurant, and she was having an experience where there were these ladies from the church, and they'd come in, they were being extremely rude to her, stiffed her on the tip, and they were listening to them, and they were just really, just seemed to have a very bad attitude towards her. I didn't know anything about this woman. I wish they had known a little bit more. Turned out this woman was that far away from coming to the church they attended. She had just lost her best friend due to suicide. This same church offered suicide and grief counseling. Their attitude, their outward display, she never attended. And this power of our words. And with the country in the state it's in, this is a national survey about the Christian church in the U.S. As you can tell, 18 to 28, we're losing. Over half these kids aren't Christian. They're atheist, they're agnostic, or they're trying a new religion. 29 to 47, 4 out of 10, not Christians, don't identify themselves as Christians. Even older groups, you're looking three and a half out of 10, not Christians at that point in their life. This is, I think, from 2014. This saying here, the greatest cause of atheism today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips and deny them by their lifestyle. That kind of sounds like our friends at Capri's. When you're faced with all this, and there's another survey as well, another 2014 survey, 35,000 people in the U.S., from 2007 to 2014, the number of Christians has dropped almost 9%, while the number of people who don't identify with any religion has gone up almost 8%. Why is it happening? A lot of people have different things that, different reasons why. Could be, you know, we can blame part of it on the media. We can blame part of it on television. Unfortunately, part of it comes right to our door. We've got some brothers and sisters here that they talking the talk, but they ain't walking the walk. And I think we all get guilty of it sometimes. Some of us get a lot better at it than others, though. You might be asking yourself, what can you do and what kind of difference can I make? One person can make a difference in another person's life. With God's help. You may not save the world, but if you save one person, you saved a lot. First thing we need to do, though, get our own house in order. Have a spiritual life. Jesus warned of hypocrisy in Matthew 7:3, saying, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye?" We're talking down to some folks. And are our hearts really in the right place? We go to church. We may do small groups. We got the fish on our bumper. Where are we really living in? And it's an everyday struggle. Anyone that really honestly admits it, it's an everyday struggle to be a Christian. It is. We have our highs. We have our lows. But people look at us kind of like our kids in a way. We say, what do they look at? Do they look at our words or do they look at our actions? What has the most effect on them? And it's the same with other folks too. Now, first thing, pray. Jesus said in Matthew 21:13, it is written, "My house will be called a house of prayer, but you're calling it a den of robbers." He didn't say worship, he didn't say pancakes, he said prayer. And we pray. The Gospels have multiple mentions of prayer. John Wesley, for people that may not be familiar with the name, John Wesley's teachings led to the founding of the Methodist, the Wesleyan, and the Church of the Nazarene. That God does nothing but in answer to prayer. And I'm a firm believer in that. 1 John, that this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Prayer is our way of communicating with God. Finding His will for us. It's not just by asking for God's blessings. His will for us. And His will for us might be, and I've had this happen, I'm sure a lot of people have, it may be talking to that person that you see is having a hard time at that McDonald's counter. It may be a smile. It may be one of many things, but you started off with prayer. Now that being said, prayer, and I'm going to mention some later, they all have to be in coordination with a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you do not have that relationship, you can pray all day long. You can read all day long, and it ain't going to happen. And that relationship started, Jesus, I believe you are my Lord and Savior. You came to earth in man form. You've died for my sins. You arose and you ascended to heaven. I know I cannot get to the Father except through you. 2 Chronicles. This is one of my favorite verses. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. Very appropriate for our time. Very appropriate. And God wants to answer our prayers that align or come into alignment with His will. But how do you know what God's will is? Word of God. And again, it's all a cycle. And if you notice things of three, you have to have the relationship with Jesus. You pray and you read the Word. But without those three, and Jesus said Himself in John 5, you can search the Scriptures because you think that in them you will have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. Pharisees were like a priest class. They were a scribe class in ancient Israel. Palestine at the time Christ came along. They were well read. They'd been versed on the Scripture. They were waiting on that Messiah on word go. They totally missed Him. They plotted to have Him killed. And they read, they were knowledgeable of every single Old Testament reference to the Messiah, but they missed Him. They were well read on the Scripture, but no relationship with Jesus. You have to have all three to have a good spiritual life. Relationship with Jesus, pray, word. You got to have all three. Calvin Miller was a famous professor, author of over 40 Christian books. To know the Bible is not an option for those who want to know true inwardness. No one stays at the table long who does not study Scripture. Mystics without study are only spiritual romantics who want relationship without the effort. You're going to hear me time after time come back to this in my sermons through the years, because I'm a firm believer. You grow spiritually. Relationship with Jesus. You admit you need Him. We all do. I do. I've been down on my knees and I admit it. I can be on top of a mountain and I still admit it. Because without Him, I'm nowhere. You grow deeper in that journey. Praying to Him. Talking. It don't have to be fancy. You've heard me say some fancy prayers. It don't have to be, Lord, I messed up. Can you please help me get my life straight? Lord, I'm concerned about this person. They are off somewhere. Help me. And when you go to open that book, And it may be an app, it may be a comic book, I don't care. God inspired this. God's inspired multiple versions of this. It is inspired by God. You will find him in here. Pray over it. You will find him. It is all throughout our scripture. Peter here, like newborn babies, you must crave spiritual milk so that you'll grow into full experience of salvation. Y'all, I love our time together here on Sundays. I know Bill loves his time when he's up here with y'all. But this is an everyday thing. I can pray for y'all. I can pray with y'all. But when it comes down to it, y'all go out in that world. And you're going to be confronted by things and by people and by a very real enemy that want to tear down what you've built up in your relationship. Relationship with Jesus, pray, and the Word. Whether it's on an app, whether it is in paper, wherever it's at. Those are the keys. And what we want to do is make sure that y'all grow stronger. And it's not being able to look at a Bible verse and, hey, this was written in Palestine in 422 BC. No. What is the Lord saying to me through this word? Hebrews, another one that I found that I think is amazing. For the word of God is living and active. It is. Same bit of scripture can mean different things at different times to you at different points in your life. The book of Hebrews to me is one of the more fascinating books in the Bible because it's all full of faith. I have problems. My faith, and even sitting standing up here, my faith is something that it takes a beating. And Hebrews 11 in 11:1 gives one of the best definitions of faith, and this gives one to me one of the best descriptions of the Word of God. It's living, it's active. And you think about what Jesus was referred to, the Word. It is living, it is active, and it wants to be part of our lives. We have to open it up. 2 Timothy, all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching. This can, all of the Bible, whether you have it on a phone, whether you have it in paper, it's God's laws and promises, and it's here for us. But just remember, it's only part of your journey. Think of it kind of like a car. Relationship with Jesus is a steering wheel, but you got to have the tires and the engine to make the car go. That's prayer and that's the Word. You got to have all three or you ain't going nowhere. And Mr. Wesley again, whether you like it or not, read and pray daily. It's for your life. There's no other way. This man in the 17th century, I think it was 44,000 miles in a single year. That's horse and buggy or horseback to evangelize. And that's how strongly he felt about it, to say no uncertain terms like that. And prayer and growing deeper in the Word are the ways you grow spiritually. You got to have both. And like Bill used the term vehicles. They are. They're vehicles, but you have to have the relationship before the Word and the prayer. They all have to be together. Now, a note about this, though, the deeper you grow in your journey, new levels, new devils. And I'm sure some of you may have already started noticing this, that you get jumped, and I got to give Lisa credit for that when she came up with it. And the deeper you go, the more you're attacked. I have found out, I feel like I need to be wearing asbestos underwear right now, because over the last few months, we have just been on fire, not in a good way. It seems like everything that could happen has happened. I've gone all over the country. I have had planes delayed, canceled. I have been tired, but it's been worth it all. Just be prepared. As you get deeper in the Word and as you pray and as you try and grow your relationship, you're going to get attacked. These young people out here, teenagers, early 20s, y'all are especially vulnerable to attack because you have friends that are going to tell you it's not cool. You're going to be exposed to things that we never even thought about as teenagers. For us, bullying ended at school door. Or you had a fight with somebody and that was it. It's not that way anymore. You are hounded by media. And there's so much pressure. You have celebrities that are telling you, ripping up Bibles and telling you it ain't cool. And you're still discovering who you are as a person. I just ask you, when you get in those situations, if you don't listen to anything else I say, pray. Pray a little short prayer. Lord, what I need to do. Because you're at a point in your life, like, I'm 46. I was real fortunate. I did some idiotic things as a teenager, and it didn't catch up with me. And that's just being honest. Kids, y'all mess up right now. Every job application you fill out, you're going to be on. You make a mistake, it's going to be on there now. You have a lot of you have dreams of college. You have dreams of going places. So when that devil's tugging at you, remember that. If you don't remember anything else the old gray-haired guy said to you, just remember that. And also, people are looking. Going back with this, people are looking at what you're doing. And you never know when those people may come back and they may come back into your lives. I read something about this executive, and he was going into his office, and this young kid flew into the last parking place and yelled obscenities at him. The older fella, he found his way, went to his office, and guess who was his 11 o'clock interview for a new job? Things you do today have a way of coming back and biting you tomorrow. So another reason, be careful with your words. And another thing, sometimes it's not the rainstorm you have to worry about tearing down your house. It's the slow drip. The attacks can come from places that you least expect. Second, little things make a big difference. In Ephesians, it talks about unwholesome talk and what's helpful for building folks up. And trying to get rid of the bitterness and rage and anger and brawl and slander. And that's hard to do because it's so much easier to be mad at somebody. It's so much easier to trim their family tree. Now what that doesn't mean in that verse, it doesn't mean let somebody run all over you. It doesn't. Sometimes you have to protect yourself. But in Romans 12, it talks about as far as you can try and get along with your neighbor. Some folks, it's just hard to. Some folks, it's impossible with. But as much as you can, try to. Now, this next one I thought was real interesting. At my job I'm at, we've tried to do things with customer service and trying to de-escalate conflicts and all this stuff. And talks about the, got this from the dangers of emails or telephone calls. Because you call somebody. At the most, and I'm going to do my laser pointer, baby, that you hate. It's verbal and paraverbal, and what that means is your tone. With a phone call, at the most, 45% of what you're actually saying comes across. But if you have a tone that someone takes as being odd and as being, I don't like your tone, you just set yourself up for a conflict. You may not even be meaning to. The words you say only have about 7% effect. I mean, that's all the words that come out of your mouth actually equate to. 55% of it, body language. And I can tell you now, our two couples at Capri's, if they saw mine and Lisa's body language, thankfully there was a barrier there, they would have known we were not real pleased with them. And I could turn around and look at them, and they were just being snooty, for lack of a better word. They were being snooty, and this, thankfully, the little girl, the young waitress, she was fine with it. And when you think about this, and you think about your tone, Matthew 25:40. And the king will say, I tell you the truth. When you did it for one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it for me. When we talk to someone, We never know what they're going through. Little things that we can all do. Just smile. And if somebody does something for you, say thank you. It ain't gonna kill you. Say thank you, and it means a lot. Again, with young people, manners mean so much to the people that are hiring you for potential jobs, potential college interviews. Make eye contact. This is something I've had to work on through the years about making eye contact. If somebody asks you to, pray for them. Pray with them. If you see somebody's having a hard time, pray for that person. Just, Lord, help this person. If they look like they're really struggling, be honest. And if they need encouragement and you're feeling in your heart, encourage them. And now this one I'm still working on. Don't put a Christian bumper sticker on your car if you're going to act like it, if you're going to act crazy while you're driving. I'm still working on that one. Because road rage is one of my things I am still steadily working on. I try to help with my curse words, but I'm usually riding through Atlanta for whatever reason that week, and that just goes all to pieces. That just goes all to pieces. God wants to work through us. Work, grocery store, school. He wants us to be His hands and feet. He wants to use us in His work, and pray to have the eyes and the ears to see what God's doing and how we can be a part of it. It'll open our senses to what's going on around us. And the battles that others are fighting, you may not notice it now, but when you pray to have your eyes opened, you'll see. Because everybody's going through a struggle. Everybody is. That person that's right beside you, that line at McDonald's, they might be about to lose the house. They might have got a bad diagnosis. There's a person that Lisa and I know, I knew from working over at the hospital in Lawrence, that I had no idea. This lady's been struggling with breast cancer. Sorry, her son's in the band. You never knew. I never knew until she told me. You never know what battles folks are fighting. And finally, we're all different. We are all different. The way God uses me might be different than the way He uses you. Like Greg has a really good sense of outdoors and he's really good at hunting and fishing. I can blow out a lot of hot air. Greg's way may be carrying somebody fishing or hunting or something like that and is just as effective. Sometimes I think we get ourselves in, we build these walls where, you know, I just can't get up and talk, so I can't really help people. You don't have to. Just being kind or having a good thing to say to that person beside you, it can make more of a difference than me getting up here and talking for 30 minutes. That person that maybe you see at work that's struggling, and you might invite them fishing, you might invite them to have breakfast one morning. And you may not even mention the Lord, but they're looking. They're looking at you, and they're looking at what's coming out of you more than your words. And if you think you're too small to make a difference, spend the night with a mosquito. You will make something that small, it makes a big, 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 big difference. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork. We are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God wants to use us. In Corinthians, there's different kinds of service, but it's the same Lord. And Lord can use anything. Whether it's two guys on a fishing bank, on a river bank, whether it's somebody up here in front of you talking real fancy, whether it's somebody in the line at McDonald's, He's willing to use all of you. Whether it's two kids in the high school library that see somebody that's down and something in your heart, something in your stomach says they may make a bad decision. Or I'm afraid they're going to do something that's going to mess them up. Lord uses all of that. 1 Peter, each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others, whether that's a gift of music, talking, outdoors. Just pray And I pray about it every day. I've prayed about it standing in line at Starbucks before. I feel this tug that you want me to talk to this person, or you want me to do something with this person. Lord, help me, because I don't know which way to go. Guide me. And Helen Keller said something, alone we can do so little, but together we can do so much. Each of us pays more attention to what's going on around us. We can help more people. Help more people and potentially bring more people to Christ, where more people can have salvation. Right now in America, there's another statistic I didn't put on here. It takes about 86 Christians to produce one new believer in this country. But I think part of that is what is in the hearts of all 86 of those people. I think one person can help another person by the way they live, and showing that by the way they live, because with our little communication chart, people are looking more at what you're doing than what you're saying. And now, just wrapping this all back up, that everybody you meet is a potential believer. And they're probably fighting a battle that we don't know about. There may be a reason why they are turned off from God. It could be, lack of a better word, holy rollers. That they get out and they have just been turned off of it. It could be a tremendous loss that why they have turned away. And I've been there. I have been there personally. I wondered why. I doubted he existed. And it is hard to cross that bridge back over. But those people are fighting a battle, and a kind word or just treating somebody like you want to be treated can go so much farther than you can ever imagine. But we have to make sure our house is in order. The relationship with Jesus. If you have not asked Him to come into your heart as your Lord and Savior, that's the starting point. Then you pray and you read. And I don't mean reading chapters, whole books, but just, Lord, let this scripture speak to me. What do you want to say to me? And Lord, just help me through this day. It's just as simple as can be. We all have our ways of speaking. Don't underestimate the little things. A smile, saying thank you, and just treating people like you want to be treated can go so far. You drop those walls, and that opens the door to more communication. And it's a slow process, but you drop those walls, then you start talking with folks. And that's where you make progress at. And finally, God made us all different. The way I would approach somebody, the way the Lord would use me, is going to be different than the way He uses you. And there ain't nothing more right or wrong than any of the rest of them. Now, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to open the altars up to the for our songs. And there might be somebody out here this morning that I need to take that first step. I need to have that relationship with Jesus. I want to grow deeper in the spiritual journey. Or it may be somebody that I've strayed. I accepted Jesus in my heart, but I've strayed. And this story that you told about these people at this restaurant, that sounds a lot closer to me than what I really want to think, than what I really thought it did. These altars are open. I will pray with you. I will pray for you. If you want to stay in your seat and pray, anything that's weighing on your heart right now. We're going to bow our heads here. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us come to your house. Father, thank you for these people. And Father, help us remember as we go out into this world, we are your, whether we like it or not, we are your disciples. People see us and they see how we act. And Father, how we act and what we say and how we say it, it carries. And Father, help us to be, when we talk to other people, when we talk to other potential believers. Father, help us to do what is pleasing and right in your eyes. And Father, just help us to speak to people like we want to be spoken to, and help us to bring new people to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Then get everybody to stand, please.
And the altars are open.
The sun cannot compare to the glory of your